Okay, we're coming to the end of this very, very long chapter in the book, in the Shabbos Malkasa. We're at the bottom of page Kuf Samachay. And the Gemara, and Rav Pinkus has brought down a Gemara in Shabbos that talked about how Yitzchak was the one who judged the Jewish people favorably in terms of them not getting punished. And while Avram and Yaakov said, listen, you got to punish them. Hashem said, what are you going to do with your kids? You got to punish them. Yitzchak said, what do you mean? They're my kids. They're your kids. And if you don't want to forgive them, I'll forgive them. The whole thing we went through yesterday. So it's a very unusual Gemara. So now Rav Pinkus is going to explain it. We're at the bottom of page Kuf Samachay. V'nei divrei Gemara amukim ma'od. The words of this Gemara are very deep. Me and Sam, who can really find the deepest meaning to it. But the simple, general explanation of the concept is such. When we come in the world to come in the future, Hashem has to judge the world according to the letter of judgment. That's the way things have to be. And not with kindness, because it's the end of the day, and Hashem has to determine what the final position of the Jewish people should be. So Hashem is operating with judgment. So Avram and Yaakov, who their attributes, their essence, Avram is chesed and Yaakov is mercy. They have no mouth to speak. Because we're dealing with judgment and not with mercy. Right? That's the key. This is the moment where Hashem is focused on judgment. So he's focused on judgment. He's in judgment mode. So where do Avram and Yaakov come? They have no address. They can't talk. When it's another time, yeah, Avram will open his mouth up. But when we're at the final judgment day where it's got to be pure din, there's no more time to delay. Well, okay, I'll give him another 50 years. This is it. It's the end of time. At the end of time, there's no place for chesed, there's no place for mercy. There's only one place. There's a place for ultimate judgment. And Avram and Yaakov know we have nothing to say at this point in time. So who could talk? Then Yitzchak comes along. Because Yitzchak's attribute in his whole life was always judgment. According to Mamish, the letter of the law, through different calculations, even according to judgment, he was able to turn things in the merit of the Jewish people. And then the Jewish people will say to Yitzchak, "Ata avinu, you are our father." Meaning to say, the attribute of Yitzchak is the attribute of judgment. It was through the attribute of justice that merits were found for the Jewish people. Next page, Yom Yitzchak. So therefore, Yitzchak's going to say, you're praising me. You know what? You should praise Hashem first. Hainu, why? Wait, let's think for a minute. Can you really think? When you're operating in judgment mode, can you look for a merit? We're in judgment mode. How does that work? You saw what the discussion was. They sleep half the time. You can't judge them till they're 20. And I'll take part of it. What's going on? So he's saying, "Arei kal v'chomer, isn't it an a fortiori argument? Imidos hachesed v'arachem mishal Avram v'Yaakov lo motzu schus b'yoyim shlita sadin. If Avram and Yitzchak that represent kindness and mercy, they can't make a dent in a time when we're operating with judgment. Matana minister d'aso. How could judgment itself do anything?" In other words, it's a very interesting contradiction. It's very odd. God's operating in judgment mode. Okay, so Avram and Yaakov says, okay, we have no address today. Today's judgment day. Avram says, well, you know, let's do kindness. You know, Yitzchak, Yaakov, mercy. Hashem says, we're not dealing in those modes right now. This is it. This is the last day. We can only do one thing is judgment. So if they can't do anything, how can Yitzhak, who is judgment, do something? So what's going on? What's going on? V'im Kain comes out, so, at the end of the day, Ma be'emes kara, what happened? The answer is, irony of ironies, El Shabbat Midas El Yon and the Rosh El Chesed Hashem. But what happened is, what was plugged in was the supernal level of God's kindness. Shiamuka v'neiro kokach, that's so deep and so awesome. At shemahapechas asadin asu rachamim, that it changes the judgment into mercy. Okay, what does that mean? What does that mean? Now, if you recall, you got to remember what we learned yesterday. You got to remember what we learned yesterday. Remember yesterday, we talked about certain midos. We talked about Erech Apayim, long and merciful. Okay, long and merciful. The ultimate of Erech Apayim is what? You never punish. Remember? You never punish. Because, you know, it was a triple expression of Erech Apayim. And ultimately, people can always do tshuva, and they'll never be punished. That's Erech Apayim. Ze'er means punish right away. Ze'er Apayim means it's a combination. Won't punish right away, but won't give them forever. Right? And what did we say was the beauty of Shalashutis, which he's going to come back to. But he's going to say, remember, in this world, we have to act with Ze'er Anpin. In this world, we act with a blend of delaying and a blend of punishing. Right? A blend, not extreme. But when we can get out of this world, we can go with total Erech Apayim. Right? Because remember, in this world, if we go to Erech Apayim, the wicked people will destroy the world. But in Erech Apayim, when we're in another world, in the world beyond, then we can operate that way, because the wicked people aren't going to be around to make it bad. Remember, we talked about that, right? We had that all yesterday. So this is what's coming out now. He's telling us now, even when we're dealing with the judgment day, but guess what? Yitzhak, through judgments, they will say, wait a minute, even through judgment, it's possible to have mercy. So now what's that? So let's keep reading. Another two paragraphs. V'nimtza comes out. Shemitzadech, on the one hand, muchruch hadover, it can only be Sharak Yitzchak Yelam Yitzchus B'yomahu. Yitzchak's the only one who can have an address today. Shereizeh kol tachlis also hayom anor, because that's the ultimate essence of that awesome day at the end of time. Lamed adin davka, to set things up according to judgment. V'imliv raskus, and if we're looking to judge favorably, lo yava mi Yitzchak, lo yava mi Yitzchak, he wouldn't take it. Lo yiskabel bosi, wouldn't be accepted. It wouldn't come from Yitzchak. Avol amita shel dover, but the truth of the matter is, kocho shel mi yehesham, whose power is this really to judge favorably? Lo kocho shel Yitzchak asmos, not from Yitzchak's essential power. El kocho el yener shel chesed, it's an awesome, supernal aspect of kindness, she'osa chesed v'rachamim al pidin, that you could do kindness and mercy according to the letter of the law. Here's the new concept here, that when God's operating, you can with judgment still plug in chesed. How is that possible? So the next paragraph, he says how it's possible. V'moshel al zeh ramus ba'osa posuk sham. If you look in that pasuk there, you'll see a hint to this, and we'll use a little analogy to explain it. Shilubsof Yomisol. What did the Gemara say? At the end, it says in the pasuk, the Jews at the end say, "Ato Hashem Avinu Ato, Hashem, you are our Father." That's what the pasuk said. That's the whole pasuk that we started off yesterday from Yeshaya. Ki Ato Avinu, you're our Father. That's a reference to Yitzhak. Avram didn't know us. Yisrael didn't know us. Right, Ato Hashem Avinu Goalein Me'olam Shemecha. But you, Hashem, are our Father who redeems us. So we're calling Hashem our Father. So now let's think about that. Hainu Mashal Arachem Shalav Al Beno. This is a mashal, an analogy to the mercy of a father for his son. This was the beginning of Yitzchak's complaint to God, his argument. Harayim Benecha, aren't they your kids? Once they're your kids, if they're not your kids, then the attribute of justice works one way. But when they're your kids, it has to work a little differently. Mashallah, for example, a father, Shaboya love, bitluna neged beno, sha'asa av l'kach v'kach. People come to the father and say, you know, your kid did something wrong, such and such. So ma einahav. So now what is the options that a father has? Kichiyomer, is he going to say, tevatrlo, overlook it, terachmu alav, have mercy on him? Vadishlo, he's not going to do that. Elma, but what will he do? Hoifech bischuso, he'll turn the thing around in the kid's merit. Meaning to say, hulo Hashem, he's not guilty. Chave rav gormulo, his friends caused it to happen in him. In other words, he fell into a bad crowd. He was in a bad crowd. He got influenced. I'm not telling you to overlook it. I'm telling you to what? Look at it in a light, in a judgment fashion that is still going to be favorable. Right? The father isn't speaking nonsensical things. He finds deep angles and twists in the argument. Hakol lahamid al pi din shebeno tzaddik, to all establish that according to the letter of the law, the son is still a tzaddik. Amnam, but the truth is, v'chizeh hisar mikoach midas ha'emes v'tzaddik. This all comes out of the power of the attribute of truth and justice. Is it going to really be? Lo v'lo, not really. El mikoach midas rachme amamuka kokach, but it's from an attribute of mercy that's so deep. That it's able to conquer the judgment, to show that the judgment is ultimately with it. In other words, what he's saying is like this. There's rachamim and there's rachamim. There's chesed and there's chesed. We could have a case, you know, where somebody does something wrong, and we could say, listen, we know he did it wrong, let him off. Why? Just let him off. Be nice. Right. So sometimes God will do that. But when we're dealing with pure justice, listen, I can't do that. That's not just anymore. I can't do that anymore. So we say, okay, but you know what? The truth is, it's not really so much his fault. What do you want? What do you want? They went through a Holocaust. Everybody in the world says there's no God. You know, we're surrounded by 6 billion people who don't believe there's a God in this world. You know, it's hard. We've been hanging out. You know, well, be fair. You didn't give us an easy job. And you didn't make it, you know, didn't give us favorable conditions either. So we understand they made a mistake. But you know what? Because you've made it so hard, by law, they deserve some mercy. That's the point. You know, you're going by the letter of the law, so why don't you look at all the mitigating circumstances over here? This wasn't such a simple thing. You didn't give us an easy job. You gave us a job that most people would fail. And you stacked the deck against us. And you gave us a Yetzer Hara that never let up for 1 minute. And you know these are human beings. Right? And so you want to judge. So figure in all of the challenges you made in order for us to succeed. And it got harder and harder and harder and harder. So, you know, that's already, that's got to come from a deep, you know, it's like the lawyer who goes deep into the case to bring out all kinds of little things to show, you know, it's not as simple as you think it is. So he's saying through the attribute of Yitzhak, who is justice, he says, you're going to bring us a mercy through a justice. I'm going to have to come up with good reasons why mercy is the just thing to do. Sometimes just have mercy just for the heck of it. You know, some kid does something wrong, you want to punish him. You look at his face, okay, have mercy on him. That's totally not correct. Okay, but there could be a place where you say, okay, listen, maybe he'll learn from it, maybe it's not the time to punish. But that really wasn't just. But this time you say, listen, I know he did it wrong, but you know, there's a lot of reasons why it happened such. And figure all those reasons in. And then through justice you can still come up with mercy. That's a very deep level of mercy that still operates in the realm of justice. That's what Yitzhak was able to do. In other words, on that final day of judgment, Avram and Yaakov, they are not able to talk on that, because they only know one thing, you know, have chesed, have mercy, you know, in the simplest way. But this is not a simple day, so you can't have simple mercy, can't have simple kindness. It's only a day of judgment. So if it's only a day of judgment, Yitzchak's the only person who could talk. But even Yitzchak can understand in the deepest, deepest sense of judgment, he'll find justfully some mercy. You know, I think you found that with Esav. You know, when Yitzchak gave away the bracha to Yaakov, right? And then Esav says, "Can't you give me a blessing?" He says, "What do you want? I already gave the blessing away." That was a judgment. Hashem wanted Yaakov to get it, not you. That's the judgment. And Esav starts crying and this and that. Then all of a sudden he goes and gives him a bracha. So what happened? Yitzchak's the man of justice. He says, "Listen, I already gave Yaakov the blessing. That's it. I found out he really is the one who's supposed to get the blessing and not you." He says, "Can't you give me a blessing?" So, you know, so he looked deep, deep, deep. It was able to find some, okay, yeah, we'll still find a purpose for you, Esav. It's interesting. Yeah, if you look at the discussion, he says, "Father, can't you bless me?" "No, I already gave the blessing away." That's it. That's the judge. "Oh, but come on, you don't have one blessing left for me?" "Okay, I'll give you a blessing." Well, what's going on? Flip-flop? This is not a flip-flop guy. He says, "This is the way it is, the way it is." That's the judgment. Boom, no blessing. So now, okay, we have to get into the whole discussion of Esav. He says, "Well, you know, according to judgment, even if Esav will be a Russian, there still is a reason why he still should get a blessing, right? Why? Because he could promote anti-Semitism, which will keep the Jews in line, right?" It was like a new twist. It was a new twist, but it was a just twist. In other words, in terms of being a tzaddik, he doesn't deserve a bracha. Remember, Yitzchak thought he was the guy who was struggling to be a tzaddik. He deserves a bracha. He found out, he's a mamish of Russia. So what's the justice to give Russia a bracha? You know why? Because he can help Yaakov. He can persecute Yaakov so Yaakov won't assimilate. And that would be just. Right? So in judgment, you can find mercy. If you look deep enough, I mean, he had to look really deep to find a reason to bless Esav. Esav had no reason to bless him. He went right to the depths and says, "You know what, if we're not going to find a blessing one way, we'll find a blessing another." And it's by law and by legal, and it was 100%, and Esav didn't get something as a freebie either. Esav, I see, you know, based on now that I understand the deeper situation of who you are, I see a way to give you a blessing too. So in judgment, if you look deep enough, you can find it. And that's what Yitzchak was able to do. Okay, let me just finish two more paragraphs of the chapter, and then we'll happily take questions. So now let's bring it back to Shabbos, let's bring it back to Shalosh Shudos, let's bring it back to the Zer Anpin. V'zeh mamish inyan suda shlishis. This is the idea of the third meal. Dohi sudasa dizer anpin. This is the suuda. This is the meal of the balanced temper. Right? Not too short, but not forever. We can strike a balance. Why? Shahachesed kol kach misgaber, that the kindness is so strong, that the attribute of justice has to be incorporated into the holiness of Shabbos, as the Arizal continues when he discusses what Zer Anpin is in Shalosh Shudos. These are the words. Vatika kadisha v'chakal tapuchin kadishin aisi l'sado bahado. That the ancient one of all days. That's the attribute of Shabbos day. V'chakal tapuchin kadishin, and the field of the holy apples. That's Friday night. They come to dine with us. Hainu besuda norazu at this awesome meal. Midas adin u'midas hachesed elya noira maskimim v'olim v'konechad. The attribute of justice and the attribute of the supernal kindness. They all agree and they come in one direction. They're all aligned. That's what happens at this point in time, where we're able to incorporate kindness in a time where maybe we wouldn't. And why is that so? Because let's look, this is a unique meal. Because what does this meal really do? How is this meal different than the other two meals? Friday night meal and Shabbos meal are totally Shabbos meals. But here, Shayo Maschel Lahachshich, the day is beginning to get dark. The sun is setting. Shalosh Shudos moves into the evening. Right? Normally you try to extend the Shabbos. You could have Shalosh Shudas where it's pitch black, and it's technically Sunday already. It's Yom Rishon, but it's still Shabbos. Isn't that interesting? Shabbos doesn't end. Right? But the time says 9:28. Shabbos is over. Doesn't matter. We're still in Shalosh Shudas. We haven't benched. We're saying words of Torah. We're singing. Right? We're still holding on to Hashem. But what do you mean? Shabbos, it's not over. It isn't over until we say it's over. It's not over until, you know, and if you don't say Baruch HaMavdol and you turn a light switch on, you transgress to Shabbos, even if it's 10:30. Even if it's an hour after Shabbos, if you're still sitting in Shalosh Shudas and you haven't said, I've given up the Shabbos yet, it's 100% Shabbos. It's no less Shabbos than it was in the middle of the day. You can't be Mechal Shabbos. Unless you say Baruch HaMavdol. But if you don't, you are holding on to Shabbos. You have Shabbos while it's already Yom Rishon. It's still Shabbos. So you're able to take that aspect of Shabbos and bring it mamish into the weekday. V'hakedusha overes l'me'achol, and the holiness penetrates into the weekday. And the weekday is normally what? Is normally a time where we can't have so much mercy. It's got to be blended. But wait, it's still Shabbos. V'tzarech shegam midas y'me'achol, so therefore the attributes of the weekday have to also taskim v'tizchaber l'midas ha'Shabbos, they have to agree and connect the attribute of Shabbos. V'al yedei kein, and therefore, thereby, kol sheisim y'amaisa, the rest of the 6 days of the week, yekshur v'mizbarchim miktush ha'Shabbos, they're tied and blessed from the holiness of Shabbos. But we're able to do it. That's the ultimate of what Shabbos is able to do. Not only does Shabbos transform you to Shabbos reality on Shabbos, but if you work hard enough on Shabbos, it can push you right into the weekday and keep you at that Shabbos level even on the weekday. And that's the idea of the Zera Anpin. That the Zera Anpin, that the blend of mercy and kindness, which is a weekday activity, has to agree to the higher levels of Hashem's mercy. And that's all according to law, and it's all by law and just. So in other words, what Zera Anpin is normally a weekday attribute, we throw it into the Shabbos and transform it, that weekday attribute has to bend itself to the supernal attribute of what? Of total kindness. Because why? Because we're in Hashem's zone of Shabbos. We are still holding on to Olam Haba even while we're in the weekday. We're holding on to Olam Haba. And if you're holding on to Olam Haba, you know, Olam Haba in the world to come, it could be pure kindness. Pure kindness is fine. There's no problem. We don't have to worry about a person becoming a Russia from that. At Shalosh Shudas, nobody is doing Averis, we hope. No one's even thinking of doing Averis. Right? You're in that special zone. When you're in that special zone, then the weekday becomes Shabbos. And that's the power of Shalosh Shudas. And as we asked earlier, is this a roller coaster? We step into Shabbos and all of a sudden, whoa! And then all of a sudden it's much of Shabbos. Whoa! We go down and we're just playing a roller coaster every week. It's just a game. The answer is not supposed to be a game. The answer is that by the time you're finished with Shabbos, that's where Sunday picks up. That's where it picks up. And then you keep peaking. That's a beautiful growth. That's a good stock report. You know, every 6 days we spike again, and we spike again, and we spike again. There's never a market correction in our spirituality. Right? So how's that happen? That's happening at Shalosh Shudas. Shalosh Shudas is that point where we're able to take what Shabbos did to us and bring it into the weekday. So obviously, the guys are looking at the watch. I got to be places right after Shabbos. So you're ready to find that the Shabbos is an aberration to your week. It's not part of the week. Yeah, we made arrangements right after Shabbos. What are you making arrangements right after Shabbos for? You got to do Malav and Malka anyway. What are you talking about? It's not time to go into the next week yet, right? So you could see the people that I'm only going to keep Shabbos as much as I have to, but not a second more. So it means you don't hold that as the main part of your week. You hold that the 6 days is the main part of your week. Okay, so Shabbos is a vacation. Okay, but that's not the real thing. It's not the real thing. The real thing is Saturday night. That's what really counts. really counts, having a blast or going to work or whatever. So Shalshit is saying that I want Shabbos to go into the, you know, you got technically, you know, you could end Shalshutis, you know, 15 minutes before the day is over, and you already start davening Marv before Shabbos is over, and by the time we finish Marv, and we can even finish Marv even before Shabbos, and by the time I walk home and I get home in my house, it's mamish, that's the last minute of Shabbos. I haven't wasted a minute of the weekday, so I can make Havdalah exactly at the earliest time, and really 42 is the minimum amount, and I cut it right on the line. And right at 9:28, I'm starting Havdalah, and I did Havdalah as fast as I could, so it only took 45 seconds, and I only lost 45 seconds on the weekday. I'm already I've already changed out of my Shabbos clothes, I'm already in my weekday clothes, I haven't transgressed the Shabbos, right? But as soon as the first second Shabbos is over, it's done. So what have you said? You've quarantined Shabbos away from the rest of the week. You don't want it to infect Chas V'Shalom the rest of your week, because the rest of my week is a different reality, and Shabbos has invaded enough, it's intruded enough, right? So you've missed the whole point of Shabbos. So how do we know it? You know, it's like, you know, people go out on dates, right? Frum people go out on dates, so it's different than when secular people go out on dates. Frum people go out on dates for one reason: to get married. So, you know, see, a boy meets a girl, they don't see each other beforehand. The guy sees the girl, right away he says it's not for him. You know, not pretty enough. Either way, girl sees the boy. You know, I didn't imagine such a person. Right? So somehow that date becomes like a 1-hour date. Oh, you must be tired, aren't you? Oh, you know, I got exams tomorrow, you know, and it becomes a short date. As soon as, you know, you try to do it within men, you don't want to insult the person and just, you know, slam the door when they open the door. You know, okay, we'll go for a quick coffee, and that's it. Because you already know it ain't going to be. Sometimes you just know, it ain't going to be because we judge so superficially, right? So, and then that's it, it's a 1-hour date, right? But if the person really thinks, wow, this looks like, right, it could be an 8-hour date. You know, so how long is the date of Shabbos, right? So if you're trying to finish it as fast as possible, then we know that's not what you're interested in. So the whole point, you see, the whole point of Shalshut is to say we're taking Shabbos into the next day. You go to certain Hasidic places, man. I mean, real. They'll go 2-3 hours they go till midnight. You know, like it's, and you see, because they're pushing Shabbos into the whole week. So you could push it in, you could do it all night. Technically, you could have Shabbos till Tuesday. Technically. It can only take it so far, right? But then when you finish that, you're getting into Erev Shabbos mode. So you're still getting into Shabbos, right? But at least you're pushing it in. So even if we push it in 15, 20 minutes, you know, like, guys, I'm up in arms. I get emails, this is terrible. You can't do this. People expect Shabbos at a certain time. All right, okay, you got to be sensitive. There are people who don't know, appreciate Shabbos. Okay, so they leave, you know. But to realize if you push it further, your mom is pushing Shabbos into the weekday, and then the whole weekday is a different reality. Right? That's the Ze'er Anpin. We're taking the holy apples of the field of Friday. We're beginning to get a picture of what Hashem is. And then we're taking the Atikin Kaddish, the ancient holy one. We're mamish getting the full emunah pshuta of what Shabbos is. And you mamish are face to face with Hashem on Shabbos. And now you're saying, I don't want to leave that. And can I take you into the weekday with me too? That's what I'm trying to do. So now my weekday is Shabbos. And that's Zer Anpin. Zer Anpin means, it's the weekday attribute. Zer Anpin is the weekday already now. When you're saying Zer Anpin, that means weekday. That means this blend of judgment and mercy, which is a weekday characteristic. It's not a Shabbos characteristic. So we're taking the weekday characteristic and we're schlepping it along with us that has to agree with the Shabbos dynamic. Right? And then that can push that all the way into the rest of the week. That's what Shalsh is. Now what he's going to do, I don't know why, from an editorial point of view, he's going to get into another topic, and then the next chapter he's going to come back to Shalshutis which is going to add more to it, but we'll have to wait. But no, we'll take a question now. Yeah.
What's the connection between Shel Shittus and Mahalat Malka in that context?
Okay, you know, it's interesting. He doesn't have anything on Mahalat Malka. He didn't do anything on Mahalat Malka. But it's you're making a Shabbos meal in the weekday. You're taking it another step. You now Shabbos is over. Okay, you reluctantly had to give away to the Shabbos. You had to end the Shabbos, right? So you're ending the Shabbos, and now you're demonstrating what Shal Shittus was pushing into the weekday. Now you're doing it in the weekday, mamish. Now that it is the weekday, okay, now we've let go to Shabbos. Shabbos is over, right? It's over. It is now Yom Rishon, right? But I'm still in Yom Rishon. Shal Shittus was I'm pushing Yom Rishon into Shabbos. I'm letting Shabbos encroach into the weekday, right? That's what Shal Shittus does, right? I'm letting Shabbos push into the weekday, and I'm taking away from the weekday. I'm making less weekday. Mahalat Malka is saying now it is the weekday. It is the weekday. Let's not fool ourselves. It is now. I can turn the lights on and I can do things. But you know what? But the Shabbos is now in the weekday, and I'm living a weekday existence in Shabbos mode. Not pushing the weekday existence into the Shabbos, but I'm pushing my experience of Shabbos totally incorporated into the weekday. It's all transition. See, there's a transition. It's too much. Here's Shabbos. Here's weekday. The transition is way too stark. It's way too stark. Your neshama can't absorb that. It's way too painful. The change is day and night. You can't absorb that. The soul can't. A Jew doesn't care, can absorb anything. If you don't know what's going on, the Shabbos wasn't Shabbos, so what's the weekday is any worse. Right? But if mamish Shabbos was Shabbos, I mean, you're mamish in Olam Haba. How can you go from Olam Haba into this world? It's such a, you know, it's unbearable. So Hashem doesn't want that to happen. So how are we going to keep that rise as opposed to it going down? So we have to do a couple steps. Number one is, when it's Shabbos, we let the Shabbos go into the weekday. Right? So that's one technique. You're letting the Shabbos go into the weekday. There's less weekday and there's real Shabbos. But eventually you got to stop the Shabbos. So then even when the Shabbos is stopped and it's weekday, I'm acting like it's Shabbos. That's what it is. Shal Shittus is pushing the weekday into the Shabbos bottle, and Mahalat Malka is in the weekday bottle, pushing the Shabbos into the weekday bottle. Yeah, that's the dark. But you're pushing the light into the dark. You try to push Hashem further into Sunday Mamash. Right? That's why Mahalat Malka is really supposed to have, you know, candles. And I mean, if you really did it right, you made a special food from Mahalat Malka. You know, I mean, that's pretty hard on a summer Matzah Shabbos, where you're ready dead from the whole Shabbos, right? And not go start making something new. Fleisch. You know, make a fleishik meal. I mean, not everybody's system can take it. But you got to remember, it's not how much you eat. It's not how much you eat. You only have to eat a kazayas. All you have to have, you know, make a real mini steak, you know, like a 1 ounce steak. You know, a little whole thing, you know. Steakette, I don't know, you know. You know, have some, make a little soup. You know, like a really small, but the truth is that's what you should have been eating the whole Shabbos. As Shal Shittus, you're supposed to eat not so much. And remember, if you're balancing your eating, you know, if you're picking out at Shal Shittus, you can't eat very much at Mahalat Malka. Right? But so that's really what Mahalat Malka, it's unfortunate, I don't know why. He doesn't have anything on, I don't think so. I've looked at most of the book, I haven't seen anything on Mahalat Malka. Anyway, so that's the three aspects of Shabbos, okay? That's a lot to think about. Okay, now we'll move on. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make, as they say, a judgment call. We're going to, since I feel it, let's skip the next page, Perek Yud Zayin, because the Rabban just fits right into what we're saying, and everyone's going to forget about it because we're not going to look at it till Friday, okay? So let's just, we'll come right back, and tomorrow we'll go back, but we got If I push it, we can do this. So Kuf Ayin Av. Let's skip Perek Yud Zayin and go to Perek Yud Ches. Just turn two pages. Because really, I feel it follows right. We're in Shal Shudas. Let's stick with the topic. And then we'll go back, okay? So let's look at Perek Yud Ches, Kuf Ayin Av. He says, Zman Mincha de Shabbos, Usuda Shlishis, Nikrim, B'loshen Chazal, Rava de Ravin. The time of Mincha and Shabbos Shal Shudas is called, in the words of the mystics, Rava de Ravin, which means Ratzon HaRitzoinus, the desire of desires. The desire of desires. The most desirable. Moving She'inyan Roimes, Al Sayyidis Mesisachar, we know this is hinting to deep mystical concepts. Of Olnanasek, Sasafarish, Dvorim Gabal Derchav Shat. Let's explain on a simple level. He now, Bria, if you look at creation, V'chol HaShabon, and everything that's in creation. When you see anything in this world, you know it's this way because that's why Hashem wants it. Everything exists because God wills it to exist. Whatever, the chair, the table, Tony Simcover, whatever, it exists because God wants them to exist. We know that. Nimtza Shalom comes out in this world. This world is colored from different aspects. Right, there's different things and there's different colors. V'darchei hashkocha mispartos l'ribei rivos pratim. And God's supervision is divided up into myriad thousands of levels. Hu migvein ritzono shonim v'nisparach, depending on different desires of Hashem. In other words, Hashem's desire for Tony to exist is different than the cockroach in Mozambique to exist. He wills them both to exist, but he has a more specific will for Tony. And he's going to be focusing more on Tony than on a cockroach. Because Tony is much higher up in the echelon of creation. So Hashem has a stronger will and a stronger focus on Tony. Right? So there's different levels of God's will, so to speak. Right? Depending on how much will is there. Simcha Khan, there's joy here. Vatsav Khan, sadness there. Or Khan, light here. Choshe Khan, darkness here. Kedusha Khan, Vetumah Khan, holiness here, not holiness there. Everything's according to the will of Hashem. Everything the way it is. You look at this whole world, there's different amounts of God's will affecting different areas of this world. Holy people have a different connection to Hashem. Unholy people have a lesser connection. God really wants the tzaddik. The Rashi doesn't care for that much. There's a lower level of will, a lower expectation. However, if you want to search in general for all God's wills, won't we find one core, basic, root desire that from that all the other wills manifest? And we have the core will of Hashem. If you have to crystallize it, let's go to the core of what God's ultimate will is. It comes from Rabbi Akiva. Kol da'avid rachmona l'tav avid. Whatever Hashem does is for the best. Hainu, meaning to say, Ritzoni yisbarach, the ultimate will of God, is l'heitiv hu arotzen apnimi v'nasham l'chol ritzoinis, is to bestow good. Right? L'heitiv, to do good, that is the deepest will, and the soul of all wills. U'mimena yatzom ho'am, from that comes a world. And everything inside of it. I'll call his partos hain sofios to all the infinite details. It all comes from that deep will to do good. That's the ultimate will of everything. Hashem wants it. Whatever Hashem does is for the best. Right? That's the ultimate will. Sometimes it manifests itself clearly. Sometimes it doesn't. The world is complex. Can't always see that ultimate will. But the ultimate will of all wills is for the best. And you go to a funeral, the root of all of it is for the best, even though it ain't going to look so pretty as at a wedding. But the core, the rutzon of rutzon, the will of will, is everything is for the best. Everything is for the best. Nimtza shahatava, this aspect of only wanting to do good, hu harava de ravin, that's the desire of desires. The ultimate desire is I should only be doing good. Haratzon hu asiba l'chol ritzonos, that will, that is the reason for all wills. Amnam pu'ulazu shal hatava darinam bo hi hatava amukav apshuta she'en l'sof u'gvul. But this activity of goodness that we're dealing with is the deepest and simplest with no barrier. It's the first will and the root of everything he does. And that essence, the essential pure will only ultimately be revealed after this whole world is finished and when God alone reigns. When Mashiach comes, then that ultimate Ratzon, everyone will see it. Then God's innermost desire will be revealed. So it will only be good for the Jewish people. That tzaddikim will sit crowned on their heads and enjoying the splendor of the Shekhinah. But in our world, the way it is right now, next page, it's impossible to reveal that deepest will. That is the reason of all reasons and the wills of all wills and the reason that everything is in this world. In other words, you know, Hashem, the root of everything is Hashem, 100% kindness. But because of man's sins and this and that and the complexity of life, it can't always reveal itself that way, even though that's what it is. But you watch young people die. It doesn't look to be such a pretty thing. But if you go deep and deep and deep and deep and deep enough, it's from the most beautiful source. But because of us, because of the variable called us, of the Jewish people, and we may do averus and we do things that are wrong, it forces that the will has to be manipulated and go to take twists and turns in a different fashion, a different direction. But if we can get to the core of God's will, the core of God's will is only the most beautiful kindness. And that's the root. And even though we go on a very circuitous side route, and over here you're seeing a funeral, and over here you're seeing a wedding, and over here a person lost all his money, we trace those roots all the way back. It's got to go to that ultimate core of the ultimate kindness. He says, and that's what Shabbos, Shal Shul, is supposed to bring us to that level. To be able to understand that everything is mamish, a kindness of all kinds. Okay, we'll have to finish it up tomorrow. Got one more paragraph, but you see what direction he's heading in.